Welcome to Ben Navarez Podcast with your host, Ben Navarez.
Let's do this.
Let's get after it.
I like it.
That wasn't intentional, but it did work out pretty well. Well, hi, howdy, hi, and welcome back to the podcast. Thank you guys for joining in yet again. Make sure you guys go like, follow, share, subscribe to all the things. That is, I guess, most of the biz. So we're going to get straight into it. Hello, Miss Jessica.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I just finished a session with a client, and I'm feeling pretty good. I really do enjoy getting to sit down to talk with people in general. So I'm excited to learn a little bit more about you. Why do you exist here in the Las Vegas area? And then what your affiliation, I guess, is in the fitness and that kind of world.
Awesome.
So if you don't mind, we're going to start from the very, very get-go.
Okay.
Where are you from?
I am from California.
Okay. What part of California?
Marietta, California.
I don't know where that is, but I believe you. Okay.
It's like Southern
California.
Yeah.
And how did you grow up and how did you find the fitness industry?
I actually grew up in Long Beach, California. Maybe more familiar with that.
Yep.
In the city. My parents drug us out to the desert with nothing when I was about 10. And from there, grew up there and I've stayed there ever since.
Nice. So you've been in town since you were 10 years old?
In California.
Okay.
My journey to Vegas started 6 years ago.
Okay, so fairly recent to Vegas area. So then when you were first getting into this space, what was your, I guess, initial thought growing up? Were you ever wanting to be inside of the fit? Like, oh, I'm gonna be an athlete, right? That's, I think, how a lot of people end up starting. What is your kind of journey?
Growing up, I was a cheerleader, went into dance. So I danced like all through high school. So that was kind of my athletic background. I didn't have much more than that. Never even thought about hitting the gym. I guess, you know, in high school, you always go through those insecurities and stuff. And I always like wished, oh, I had that kind of body or whatnot. But never pursued any kind of gym life until I got older. And then I finally jumped in.
And it seems like you are like super bought in. Like you are constantly posting. You are constantly training. What are you currently training for?
Just to be healthy, honestly. I don't have any super crazy goals. I think my insecurities from high school are still in my head a lot of the times. So that's why if you notice like my posting and stuff, I try to do a lot of positive reinforcements and getting out of that, stuck in that zone of what people say about you or feel about you. So I just feel like being in the gym and working out just helps me feel better as a person. No big goals. I mean, I did tell my coach this morning when we were training, my birthday's in July and I want to look really good in a bikini this summer. So I guess that's my new goal.
That's a good goal. I think that it's very, I think both human to have those insecurities. And then I think sometimes in the entrepreneurial world, you have like this pressure to always needing to have a goal about everything. And it's like, oh, sometimes I just want to work out.
Right.
You know, like I don't necessarily need to have a goal. I want to do it because I like it. And it helps put me in a better mindset.
Yes.
And it sounds like that's
yes
more your jam.
It does. It helps me, I guess, stay even through a lot of stuff that I deal with, I guess, with just owning a facility. So working out helps me control my mind and gets those endorphins going so I'm not so stressed all the time.
What is it like? Why did you choose to end up owning a facility?
Right. kind of crazy. So like my career journey, I started in, you know, entrepreneurship. I was in retail, worked my way up from a regular sales associate to manager. But being in that space, I always felt like I was helping people look good, trying to get them like the right outfits, the clothes to fit them, that kind of thing. after I had kids, I decided I needed more of a career. I then jumped into nursing school. While I was in nursing school, I started working out for the first time. Got a trainer, fell in love with my trainer, like not literally in love with him, but like just loved the whole thing about working out and having these programs and goals to hit. And then in the middle of nursing school, you know, I was there to help people feel better from the inside now, not just looking good. And when I hit the gym, I realized like I can do both of these things. I can help people really feel good inside and look good outside if I stick in this kind of realm of fitness. And my trainer and I at the time fell into the actual first self-made facility. He was a trainer there. And that's when they started franchising. And him and I were just like, let's do it. Let's open up our own and we can create this for, you know, hundreds of people, thousands of people out there, this same kind of feeling that we're feeling as we're working out. And so that's kind of how I fell into Vegas.
Vegas was the next like opportunity for self-made wanting to expand, or were you guys the one that made the push this way?
We were actually the ones that made the push. We felt like in California, the franchises were starting to pop up everywhere, so it was already getting saturated. And my husband and I actually had to be in Vegas for a football tournament of my son's. And we were just driving through town going, looking around, and I started looking at buildings and I was like, wow, we can make this happen here. And why not come to Vegas? Like, it's an untouched market right now for self-made. So yeah, we did it.
Okay, so I have to ask, like, starting a company on its own is intense. Going through a franchise, what is that experience like for somebody that's maybe interested in the self-made kind of place or that's an adjacent kind of whatever their own industry is? What is it like going through that process? From the first conversation of, okay, let's want to do this. Now, what's your next step?
It was literally finding a location. Like, we knew luckily with the franchise, what's nice about that is they really have everything already mapped out for you on things that you need to do or should do. So it's kind of just following the list of accomplishing those things as you go. So really it was down to finding a location for us and then going through all those steps. So that's what's, you know, nice with the self-made family. They have everything mapped out for us. I don't know how other franchises work. I would assume they're probably similar, where, you know, you're buying the name, yes, but they help you with getting contractors, you know, finding the equipment, all those kind of things are all there for us. So we didn't have to work that hard on finding those kind of things, which I would assume building your own business from scratch, that would have been really hard.
It is difficult. It is. It's not easy. That's for sure.
Right.
But I think it's also, I mean, I think the steps are the same, but I think somebody is kind of helping you give you those steps versus you kind of got to figure those steps out on your own a little bit. You know?
You have, you know, a whole team behind you that have already done it. So they get to give you their experiences and where they failed, you know, helping you not hit those same failures to skip through it to be successful.
It's kind of nice.
Right.
I mean,
it is nice.
That's attractive.
Yeah.
Like, if I wanted to get, like, step my foot into, like, owning my own company and I wanted some help, then that would be a great option no matter what industry I'm in. Like, okay, who in this space is doing franchising that could probably help me out?
Yep.
Is the goal to have multiple self-mades in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm just good. Yeah. Yes, we are. We're really looking to open up another location out here because we can't handle it all with just one location. There's, you know, so many parts, as you know, to Vegas that we can tap still.
It seems like this town is growing, but the gym is growing. The amount of trainers coming in seems like a lot. And that's a good thing because the self-made family is like really getting its name out there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I, you know, as a owner helping, you know, mentor like other trainers that are just getting into this, I said, you know, I'm not an expert. I've only been in this 6 years. You know, I still have a lot to learn and grow, But I like to share with them, like, okay, I've done this for 6 years. It's not going to happen for you in 1 year. Like, don't get that out of your mind immediately. Like, you're going to have to completely fall on your face and pick back up and just keep going. And it takes a special person to want to keep going, especially after you fall. So it's like that encouragement. Like, I don't know it all, but I've been there for a little bit. So I'm excited to see, you know, the next 6 years, like what it's going to become from there. Because I really feel like our name is just now like starting to get out there.
I am excited for the new event or the new facility. I know that we had the conversation like a couple months ago or a month ago that a search was happening.
Yes.
And so I'm definitely excited to see where it goes because I think that there is there's room for growth. And it's nice to know that the people that are leading the team understand that, recognize it, and are actually doing something about it. And a lot of times people don't do something about it.
Right. They turn, I feel like dormant, I guess. Is that the right word? Like,
yeah.
People just get so comfortable where they are and they don't, maybe they don't want to grow past that. You know, I can't say what everyone is thinking, but yeah, I feel like you have to have that hunger. You know, being an entrepreneur, you honestly always have to have that fire and that desire to keep growing. You have to have that hustle because it never stops, no matter what. Like, you might get to the next point where you thought you were going to stop, but then something new is happening. Things change, especially in the fitness industry. Things are constantly revolving and changing. So you have to just keep going with it and staying on top of it, growing with it.
What are some of those big changes that you've seen in these last 6 years from first getting into it till now? What are some of those changes that you see personal trainers experiencing or the client experiencing as well?
You know, well, the biggest change, and a lot of us seen that, you know, when COVID hit, the online process of training blew up after COVID, obviously, because we couldn't go out or whatnot. So everyone went online for everything. So I've seen a huge change in that. A lot of good, a lot of not so good. So it's crazy to see that evolvement of it.
What are those good things and what are those bad things?
Honestly, online, you have a lot of people just putting face out there. Like, they really haven't done the work, but they want to act like they have, or they feel like they have all this knowledge, but they really don't. With online trainers, you know, there's a lot of fakes out there, and it's hard to, they attract your eye, they make you want to watch it, they make you want to buy the program, but honestly, you're looking at in the background, but what did you really do to deserve to be able to give this program? And they don't have anything in that background. So I see a lot of that. So that's kind of scary.
It's like one of the most frustrating things for me that, yes, I realized very early on was like, and I could just like look jacked or have a big butt, and yep, then I can sell a
and
booty,
you're a pro
program.
Now.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, it takes like, it was frustrating because it's like I've put so much time and effort into this education, and did I ever really need it? Like, it makes you really question inside if, you know, I didn't. This person didn't, and they're probably making a heck of a lot of money off of,
yep,
something that probably doesn't even really work that well.
Yep.
It's weird.
And that's unfortunate, but I think at the end of the day, the people that are trying the program and putting that money in, they see it's not working. They don't get the results. So now they realize it's wasted money. It just sucks that they have to go through that process to realize they're not getting someone that's really professional.
They're getting the hot flash in the pan,
yep,
right? Like,
yep,
both parties, it's like, oh yeah, this is going to be really good. And then they find out it's not. And then this other person is getting a lot of hot flashes from all these different bodies that are giving them X amount of dollars per program. They're going to have this hot flash where they make all this money and then end up dying out because,
yep,
their reputation ends up declining.
Absolutely. So they're not, that's not going to last long for them. It's not longevity in the business.
I think that's refreshing to know, and also refreshing to hear, because it's not a conversation that I have very often. Like, it's always in the background, it's always like understood, but when you put it to words, it really does help. Like, it's okay to lean on the education. It's a good thing to lean on your education. Keep on leaning on it. Don't let the,
yep,
fitness Instagram models,
yes,
overrun the space.
Right. Don't let the first glance just take you in. Yeah.
It's good. It's important. Okay, so then that's one thing. What are some other good? So the fitness industry, the online stuff, that was the not so good. What was the good piece about it?
I think good involvement is just watching everybody's the growth, the expanding on. You know, you used to go to the gym. Like when I started in the gym, my coach was the old school bodybuilder type. You know, you trained one way. It was just quick reps, you know, a few slow reps. And that was just how you trained. I love seeing the involvement now and how it's completely changed. There's so many different types of training that are really highlighted now. It's not just cookie cutter, bodybuilder, gym work anymore.
There's a lot that goes on.
There's a lot.
It's cool to see like Ben in the gym, the other Ben in the gym, like the way he programs versus the way that Bray programs versus the way, you know, like, I don't know everybody's name. That's terrible. But, and then versus the way I like just those three people, like me, Ben and Bray.
Right.
Like there's such a difference, but there's all like backed by an understanding and an approach.
Yes.
And that's what's really cool.
At the end of the day, it is all basic programming. It's just how you're putting that programming together for your individual client. And that's what I love too now is that I feel like training has become more individualized. People aren't just giving a cookie cutter program to everybody anymore. They're realizing, you know, women obviously want the booty now. There's certain things that go along with training that, you know, with Ben doing, you know, sports, there's certain training that has to go that way, but you're still using those basics of programming. It's just individualized to each trainer or client or athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else have you learned about the, it sounds like you have, and like your question this morning, like what is the third step in basic exercise program, right?
Yeah.
Was that the question?
Yeah.
It seems like you've
hypertrophy.
yeah. It seems like you've gotten very much so into the physiology or like the breakdown of exercise programming.
I honestly, so I've never been a trainer. You know, I jumped into owning the facility from nursing school, just training myself. My original partner was a personal trainer, so I learned a lot from him on that, and I kind of took the business side of the facility. But with me, I've been doing a lot of training myself or growing in education because I need to know these things to help, you know, trainers coming in or trainers with their journey. I need to know these things. So I've been doing a lot of research and reading and catching myself up on the physiology side of it.
I think that's super important because then when somebody's coming into the gym and they're like, I want to charge X amounts and like either you can offer some good, like, well, maybe we're not there yet, or maybe like we should be like a little bit higher than that. Kind of helping that somebody understand their own value and what they're offering. But then also recognizing when it's like, this person doesn't really know what they're talking about. Like, do you ever turn personal trainers away?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, you do. Well, you know what? I don't just like rudely say, you know, you're not cut out for this. I honestly give them away. Like, maybe you should start not independent. Maybe start at a corporate gym that's going to teach you a little more structure on how to build your programs and how to do these things before jumping independent. So it's not telling them like, no, this is just not cut out for you. It's maybe get some more education on it and then jump into being independent, because independence alone is hard. And then if you're not structured or if you're just giving out workout programs, that's not going to get you the results for your clients. So, you know, we want result-driven trainers, obviously, in the facility because we want to build that elite style. But that's not leaving it open, not saying that, you know, it's not open for those beginners too. But you also have to have a separate mindset. You know, I'm willing to grow and change this, or I'm going to go take some time and learn this better and then come in.
So still focusing on that, like, basis of education. And it's not just – because there is like the physiology, like the understanding the exercise physiology, right? But then there's also, once you're independent, understanding the business side of things as well. And that is, for whatever reason, I think even more challenging.
The hardest part, right? It really is, because, again, I saw the the salts of Instagram or social media, they give you this idea that I could just become a personal trainer and I'm going to make tons of money. That's not how it goes. You're not going to get your certificate and jump into a gym and these people are just going to fall in your lap. Like, they're not chasing you down. You honestly have to play the chasing game where you're going out for them. No. And what better to do that is to show value and education that you know what you're talking about and you're ready to do that in the business side. That's a lot of education. That's where I come in with mentorships. Most of the time when I'm doing mentorships, it's not teaching trainers how to run their programming or do that kind. It's teaching them how to do the business, how to finance themselves, how to do their expenses, you know, those kind of things in the background that nobody teaches you in a NASM program. So you need to learn that.
What are some fundamental skills in that space do you think, or that you see?
I honestly think the biggest one is doing your monthly expenses. Trainers just they don't realize how important it is to expense out everything that you're making and your normal bills, to have it, you know, laid out for you. They miss the step on that. They're just like, oh yeah, I'm making money, and then there goes my money, and now I have no money. Like, it's like, no, you're running a whole business. You know, you need to get your LLC. You need to protect yourself. You need to have your insurances. You know, all those things come into play, especially if you want to be successful, because that, if you can cover all those bases too, when it comes to like consulting an athlete and stuff, that stuff shows. If you can show yourself as a business savvy and personal trainer, they're going to feel that and feed that off of you. So it's more value for you that they're going to see.
You mentioned something that I wanted to dive into a little bit more. What type of insurances do you think that a new coming independent trainer should be looking for?
You definitely want to have your liability insurance. Nowadays, it's also safe to have, you know, sexual harassment, those kind of things on top of it too. Because you're independent, you want to cover your bases.
And what type of, it's kind of like a good and not so good question. So what kind of LLC are we looking for? What kind of corporation are we looking for? And then how do we file? Are we filing? And this is not, I know this is like CPA, kind of, like refer to your CPA, everybody, like for sure.
Right. I'm not a professional here.
Yeah. But like if we were to offer some people some advice, like are we just going to a CPA? Just like go find an attorney, go find a CPA, start there? Or can you go online and work with something instead?
So we actually, well, with Self-Made, we have programs for that that we can give our trainers so that they have someone right there they can talk to and that will set them up with their LLCs. And those kind of things. But definitely, I would say talk to your CPA. I know LLCs, you can go online and you can fill them out, but if it really wants tax benefit wise, I would definitely talk to your CPA on which one's better for you. Because from our trainers that we have, they run multiple different ways. Some are sole proprietors, some are not. You know, there's so many different ways. I've even heard some C classes. Like, so there's definitely, just depends on, I guess, your life and what's going on with, you know, even personal to business on how you should run that.
I think when I first started opening different companies, it was like, I just want the answer. Like, give me the answer, Ben. Or like, I would look on Google and it's like, how do I open up? Or like, where do I go for? But I think at the end of the day, one of the things that I learned was look at your community. Like, there's people within your community that even if they are like, I don't know, but go ask Steve, because Steve over there is like, that's his space.
Yep.
Somebody knows somebody, yes, that will end up guiding you in the right direction. Rely less on the internet, oddly enough, and yes, like, rely on your people, man. There's good people around.
That they've done it. And that's what I love about our facility, honestly, is because we have so many knowledgeable people that you can go get information from and at least learn how they did it. Not saying that they know the right answer either, but they can give you some background on how it worked for them.
That's good. I like that a lot. What were some initial struggles you found with opening Self-Made?
This is actually funny because I sat down the other day and I was writing down since the year I opened, the big struggles that happened every year, because I've had one huge one that has hit me every year I've been opened. I think the very first one that hit me was when my partner left. So then I had to learn how to do everything on my own. So that was the biggest struggle for me. It took me probably almost, like, honestly, a year to 2 years to really, like, iron being in there by myself and get that working. And then obviously COVID.
It's rough.
But I feel like COVID for us was like a blessing in disguise. It really launched Self-Made in Vegas. Like, we really became known from that because the online platforms that we offer spiked for all the trainers. We didn't bow down and, like, listen to, you know, all the crap. Like, the city just came to us and said, like, black out your windows, you're private, lock the door, and just let each client in individually. Just don't have it open to the public. So we were still able to just keep running like we did.
That's awesome.
So that was like a hit, and then a blessing at all in one. Like,
seriously.
When we moved locations to the larger one we're in now, we had a huge fire, took out all of our electricity. So we ran on a generator for about a year.
That
was a huge blow. I was like, I honestly almost just threw my hands in and said, I'm fucking done with this. Like, I can't. Like, what is this?
That's insane.
But look, you know, we pushed through it, and now we're, like, busier than ever over there. Yeah. So, you know, it's those things, you know, you're going to fall. Things are going to happen. It wasn't in my plan, but we made it through it, and we come out on top.
In that moment of, like, oh my God, there is a fire, right? Where do you turn to?
I didn't know. I was actually out of town. It was one of our trainers that called
even
me
worse
at night and was like, hey, our, like, dumpster and stuff's on fire back here. So what it was robbers. They stole all our copper wiring. So that's why we were without power for so long, because they had to come in and redo all the power lines.
Wow.
But yeah, so they did the fire. So I drove out, came to Vegas, saw the fire, and I was just like, I went and bought, like, battery powered lights to put in the gym so we can still keep running until we had the generator figured out. And luckily for us, we have those skylights, so, like, we didn't need that much light going on.
Yeah.
But no one could do, like, cardio because the machines were down because there's no plugs. But then the people that were robbing us kept coming back. They came back and broke in again and stole more wire. Then they came back like 4 times and then they got caught.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good cut.
Right.
Get
I know.
Cut.
We threw cameras up like right after the first time. So we had them on camera for like the second times that they came in. But obviously no one knew who these people were. And then randomly one of our bathrooms, our landlord got called because there was a flood or something happening in our bathroom. That night, it was like 2 a.m. when they came, the guys were there again robbing. So they caught them and the police came and arrested them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was good, like, bad timing for them.
Yeah, seriously. Good timing for you guys. Right? What assholes. I mean, I just don't get, like, that mentality of, one, going back to the same spot every single time. If you're going to do it, you might as well switch. But to do it to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there was lots of money in copper.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
But
now there's no more copper. They definitely redid it without the copper.
Safe from any robber in the future. That's crazy. And, like, not only that unfortunate for you guys, but I would have also kind of unfortunate for the landlord as well. Not the best experience
in
the world. So then that was last
year? That was in 2021.
Okay.
So that was the first year we moved over, because we moved – oh, that would have been 22.
Okay. And then so in 23, what was your big fire?
Gosh, what did happen in 23? Maybe I was okay. Oh, our roof.
Oh, yeah.
The roof fell apart and it started leaking when it rained. It poured everywhere in the facility. Yeah.
So
that was my 23. Again, not in my plan, but, you know, thankfully they finally got it fixed. So now we have no more issues with that, but... yeah, there's always, you know, there's always going to be something. It's really what your mindset and what you do with that on where it goes.
Are you journal? I mean, I think the working out probably helps, like, keep you some sort of sane, right? Are you journaling? Like, do you practice any of those kinds of things to also help you keep good?
I don't journal on a daily, but when I have something like reeling through my head, I'll definitely stop and write it down to help me. But I read a lot. I think that calms me. Just reading more motivational things. Like right now, I'm reading that 365 Fire.
Okay.
Ben actually suggested it to me.
I have not seen that one.
But yeah, it's just lots of people with motivational quotes, really, and their stories on how they went through things.
I like that.
So it's nice.
365 Fire.
Yeah.
Okay. What's another, like, do you have a couple, like, books that you like?
I read The Culture Club, and I really loved that one.
Okay.
That one was great. Of course, like, the Influence Friends. I always mess up the title.
Influence Friend. How to Win Friends and Influence.
Yes, People.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always a go-to.
It's a good one. It's a good one. It's an oldie.
Yeah.
It's a goodie. Have you read Relentless?
I have not, but someone else suggested that to me the other day.
Oh my God. It's like one of my favorites of all time, like rereadable multiple times over. The idea is like you want to be a cleaner in your life. All these people that are just like all the way through do everything to the nth degree. Like, and they give you a couple of examples of a like Kobe's a cleaner or like. And so what that means is like you show up before everybody else and you leave there after and you leave everything out on the court, right? You clean it all out.
Yeah.
And I like that idea. And that gives you have three different types of personalities. You have that one and then you have two others. But it doesn't matter what job you're doing. You can be a cleaner at that thing. Like do everything you can. Put everything you can towards the thing that you are having desire towards having success, right? So if that's the podcast, then put everything you can. Like make it really, truly worth it. Do the education. Learn how to communicate better. All these things that are going to make this thing better. Same thing in the training industry. And they was talking about a lot of athletes was kind of the focus. And I like athlete stories, especially ones that people just don't give up. And after falling on your face, you continue to go with it. It's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get that one.
It's amazing.
Okay.
Big fan.
I will probably go buy it today.
Any other books that you like?
None off my hat. Sometimes I read like fictional stuff, but
that's fair.
Nothing that's off the top of my head right at the moment.
How do you plan on growing the self-made business, right? So I think it's very similar to a personal trainer in that like you need to do marketing, you need to get out, you're like you're looking for individual people, like you're training trainers almost rather than training people. And so how do you continue to hopefully like pull people into self-made, both the training side and then the I guess like the human side, the client side?
The biggest part is the marketing, getting marketing, but putting marketing out that has value to it. Because, you know, for a while it was just people working out to some music and there was nothing else behind it. So definitely putting out value and just sharing more of like our stories, our whys, because that nowadays being relatable to people is what attracts people. If they can really relate to your journey or your why or what you've gone through, your struggles, they're more out to relate with you and then they're more out to join you because they know you've done it. So trying to get trainers to understand that, to market themselves, is one of the big things that we're pushing like for this year. Because trainers are so scared to – well, I'm not trainers individually. Like individuals are scared to really put out their why or what they really went through, you know.
It's scary.
It's getting to be vulnerable. You have to be vulnerable to really relate to – for people to relate to you.
Yeah.
And that is scary. That's hard to do.
It is, because I think there's a fear of like, oh, they're not going to like me. If I've done this or that, then people aren't going to like me.
Right.
And it's like, you'd be surprised at how many people have that same exact experience.
Yep.
It's not that bad.
No.
It's okay.
Let the naysayers say whatever, you know.
It's part of your story. I think like I had a therapist that was just like, hey, this thing that you went through, it's just part of your story. It's not. Doesn't make you bad, doesn't make you good.
Yep.
It's just you can look at it and say, yeah, I went through that, and that's okay.
Right.
It was very transferable to, I think, all things in business. Like sitting down with a marketing team for another one of my other things that I started to do, I was like, I'm just a human, and we're here, and yes, I've lived this life, but I'm here today. It helps be very present with the things that you are currently taking part in. Mm-hmm. It feels really quite good if you do the work. It just takes the time to do the work.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
There's no difference between anything else, I think.
No. It is pretty much all the same.
It is.
You know? Yeah. You know, the independent trainers are all your business owners. You're not just a personal trainer. So what you guys go through, I go through the same kind of growing pains and things like that. So navigating those, and me maybe navigating them first so I can say, okay, this worked for me. Now I could share that with my trainers. This may work for you. You know, it's just really sharing a lot.
Have you used any like Facebook ads, or are you doing reels mainly? Like, where are you putting most of your marketing budget towards?
So we actually, just for this month, we just stepped in, and I don't know what took us for long, but we did just step into Facebook ads.
That's like the
and
place.
It, yeah. And so far we've done two, and they've been really responsive.
Good.
So yeah, we're excited that we're going to continue with that.
I'm taking some courses right now. I wanted to get into that space as well for the training side. And so I wanted to get into the nitty gritty of how exactly this is going to be the best played. So I don't know if you heard of Coursera. It's like an online platform that gives you access to a lot of different courses. And so the course that I'm taking right now is on e-commerce and digital marketing. And then I have another one that's intro to entrepreneurship from the Wharton School of Business. Okay. And then I have another one that is learning how to learn from another individual who's at some other like Ivy League school. So you can take these individual courses that are either free or fairly inexpensive. So I pay like $70 a month, and I have access to 7,000 different courses that I can take at my own pace. Some of them are within a group, so then you're like linked with other people, and you can join study groups, and you meet, you know, whatever that like schedule is for that particular class.
Yeah.
But then you have thousands of people from all over the world that are taking the same course that you can be like, hey, this is what I'm learning. Hey, this is how I'm using this, and you know, and that kind of stuff. And it's been super helpful. I would say that if anybody is in that space, then that's the space to be in. And Facebook ads seems to be like primo for that kind of jam.
Yeah. Community is so important. Having a community behind you, like you said, being able to just talk to someone and say, hey, like, this is what I got from this. What did you get from it? Just to bounce off each other. It's awesome.
Different ears pick up different things, yep. Right? Like, you can listen to the same thing, or even the same person could read the same thing,
yep,
a year later and be like, how did I not get that before? Right? You know, like, it just, it's a new lesson.
I've done that actually a few times with trainers in the facility. I did read the Alex Hormozi, you know, 100 million leads.
Yeah.
And I know some of the trainers read it. So we would do that, and they would get a completely different perspective out of his ideas. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. I really like this. Like, it helps you, you know, it helps you get, well, for me, get to know my trainers too, to see like where their perspectives go when they read something that's exactly the same that I read. It's interesting.
Yeah. That is kind of cool. We're going to do an event for my clients, and I think that you'd be if you want to come, I think it'd be kind of fun. It's going to be me and a couple different other trainers. Sorry, I'm kind of like pivoting off of that. Just, it was a thought that came to my head. If you want to come out. Yeah, exactly. That's the point. So get you involved with the IE Health community, and then I have a couple other trainers that are going to join in as well. So we're going to rent out a place that's right down the street from here. And then all we got to do is, you know, we're going to get a caterer. So we'll get some tacos made. And so if you want to come out, then you can,
nice,
can meet some of the community that we're in as well. I think that'd be cool.
Be fun. Yeah. I love, you know, networking.
I love it and hate it at the same
time. I know. You know, it honestly took me probably 4 years of owning the business before I actually started really networking. And I was like, why didn't I ever do this before? Like, what was I doing? Like, I was just going through the motions or something. Like, yeah, it's so important for your business.
So whenever you're in those marketing events, how do you mentally prepare for them? And what are your goals going into these events?
To meet people. I love meeting people anyways. Just to really see what everyone's space is. So I mentally, like, I go through my head, like, okay, what are things people could ask me? What am I going to say? You know, what do I want people to know about me and my business is really, I guess, what I sit and start going through. But just getting, you know, again, it's like getting the self-made name out there, getting my name out there, just so more people know who we are.
So this is an area that, because I like meeting people as well, but I feel in this area I struggle because it seems very superficial and it seems very quick and hard to create. Maybe not. I don't know if this is correct or not, but I'm going to say it. Hard to create like enough of an impact than to be like, yeah, I want to see that person again. Not from me to them, but from them to me. Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. This person's just selling me their thing. And it's like, hi, how are you? What are you up to? That's great. What industry are you in? That's wonderful. All right. And then like, right. Well, do you want I'm a financial advisor. You want to like come out to the office and see what we can do for you? And it's like, no. I don't.
I feel you, because I honestly feel like a lot of like networking events I've gone to, there's always real estate agents. So they always have the lenders.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yep. Well, no, I'm not here because I want to buy a house. Like, or I'm not buying anything. I'm just here to meet people that are in business. Because again, in reality, your business is not much different than my business on how we need to market it and build it. So that's why I want to meet you, not because I need a lender and I'm going to buy a house today. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, I understand that feeling sometimes. I guess it's a hit and miss, but it's one of those things that you have to keep trying.
Okay.
You know, you never know that one day you're going to meet someone that's just going to be like, wow, I'm so glad I met them. And now we're, you know, let's work together. Let's do things.
Okay. I think it's almost like dating, if you will. Right. Like, it really kind of, that's what it sounds like.
Finding that connection. Like, where do I meet somebody? In Target now? Like, I'm not going to go to the club, like, you know. But I'm really good at that. I'm honestly good at that. And I've always, like, shared that side of me, like, to trainers, like, how easy it is to pick up leads when you're in a Target or a grocery store or whatnot, and you see someone, not necessarily women nowadays because they wear workout clothes everywhere, whether they work out or not, but like men, it's easier. You know, you can see them in workout clothes or like, dude, I love those workout shoes. Where'd you get those? And it automatically it sparks up a conversation like, well, hey, what gym do you work out at? You know, and you're immediately, that could be a lead. Like, that's someone I just met. It's an easy conversation to have. Not saying, you know, we're going to date and be like, go on and be happy forever now, but.
But it's a potential opportunity.
Absolutely.
I think that for whatever reason inside of me, I'm like, oh, that's, I feel like sleazy or icky doing it sometimes.
Really?
Like if it's in the gym, or like if I see someone that genuinely needs help, I'm like, okay, this person's gait is there's an issue here, or we don't have the mobility to squat or get up or get down. I'm at a restaurant and I see someone like really struggling to get out of a chair. It's like, hey, like I recognize this thing and I would like to provide some value. Can I give you like one free session? You meet at the gym. If this is valuable for you, I'd like to continue this conversation. Rather than like, hey, I like your shoes. Where do you train at? Do you have a trainer? No? Cool. All right.
That's funny that you brought that up, because my daughter asked me that in the gym the other day. She's like, what do you do when you see someone, if you're in another gym that's completely, you know, form and everything is just wrong and you know they're going to hurt themselves or benefit? She's like, how do you know they're going to be acceptive to your, you know, advice? And I'm like, well, you don't. You know, all you can do is be kind, you know, kindly, and just say, hey, I might be able to, you know, if you don't mind, would you like some tips or pointers on this? Like, I'm like, yeah, everyone's not going to be receptive. Some are going to look at you and be like, get the fuck away from me. Like, no. I'm just training. Like, leave me alone.
I think I fear that. I think that it's easier, but also more difficult to approach women more than it is men. What time do we got?
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Okay.
I was looking because it was ringing, so I was just trying to see
who it
was.
Do we have a tap? We have a cap? Okay. Whenever I see, because I feel like I see more valgus or more like significant caving of our knee or internal rotation of the knee on a squat or a deadlift with more females, because they tend to have a sharper Q angle, so then we see more of that just normally. And so I'd be like, hey, I see this thing. I think from, maybe I'm wrong, but like a female's perspective is like it's a dude, get out of here. I don't want to do this.
He's just looking at my ass.
Right. And so it's like, hey, do you mind if I offer you some advice? Yes or no? Yes. Awesome. And then you have the conversation, you give the advice, and then you walk away. Leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be creepy. It's not that hard.
No.
And if they want to take that advice, then they'll apply it, and awesome. And then sometimes, a lot of times, if it was valuable advice, they're going to turn and be like,
wait.
Like that would, like, yeah. Even if it's like a nonverbal, it's like a, hey, like that was good. Or they'll take off their headphones and be like, that actually really worked.
Yeah.
Great. Awesome. I'm glad to hear it. And I think the rule of thumb is like 3 points of contact, right? So it's like, all right, we had this one. Maybe I've already said hi in the past. This is maybe my second or my third. Then at that point, I can go ahead and say, hey, I just recognized several different things. Like, would you want to do a session?
Yeah.
And like, that's your entry point. Right. I feel like with dudes, it's like,
they try to be creepy. Like, it's all in one, right?
Yes. And I don't get it. Like, just be respectful. don't be so weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Why'd you have to make this weird?
It's like, now this person's just always staring at me and giving me high fives. Like, why would that, you know? Like, that's not okay. And then when cueing dudes, I would imagine from a female's perspective, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
Like, for, like, to take... to be a dude in the gym doing curls or whatever, doing squats, and then a female trainer comes up and like, hey, I think unfortunately a lot of egos get in the way.
Yep.
Like, this lady probably knows more than you do, and you're just going to write her off because she's a lady?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Get out of here.
Yep.
You know?
That's true.
But they also do that with men. It's like, what is this trainer going to teach me? So,
what's
like,
this guy know that I don't, right?
You know? So then how does somebody get past that in that space?
For me personally, I always use like kind of like this silly approach to things, like make it a joke or something to kind of break that ice with a man first so they know I'm not like being all egotistical, like I know better than you do, you know, just try to make it like light of the situation. And then you can feel off of how they respond, whether you're going to step in and insert some more or if you're just going to be like, okay, and back away and just let them be.
No. All right. Well, thanks. We'll see you later.
That was a great conversation. Thanks.
That's funny. Do you find that same thing to be true with trainers taking advice?
Yes.
Fun.
Yeah. It's the same thing in the same space where some trainers might get like egotistical about it. Like, I'm a trainer. I don't need to be, I know what I'm doing kind of attitude.
Yeah. But. From the training part, but also from the business part, like, are trainers trainable? Are they coachable?
Yeah.
Like, do you find that to be a reality?
I honestly, through like our interview process and stuff, we kind of look for the ones that are more coachable. Like, if they've shared that they want to grow their business or they want to get more, then they need to be coachable to be able to get to the level they want to be. If they're set in stone and they're fine, like, I don't want any more growth, then, you know, obviously you let them do, but they eventually end up coming around.
That's fair. I feel like my first interaction with you, people tell me I'm aggressive, right? So like, Ben, like, sometimes you just come off like you have an aggressive energy about you. I'm like, I don't mean to, but apparently that is very much so me. And so if I did come off aggressive, then that is normal for me, unfortunately. But I also, this is part of the reason I like these one-on-ones, because it's like, okay, yes, he might be aggressive, but like, he's not a terrible human being. He's just, I think, forward or blunt.
Right.
And so go for it.
Well, I was going to say, like, you did, I don't think you put off like an aggressive vibe to me, but you were very like stern in your point and knew what you wanted for your business. And that is respectable. Like,
okay.
There's nothing wrong with knowing where you want to go. I need these kind of things for my business to succeed. You were on it.
That's my intention, right? I appreciate that recognition, because I think there are people maybe that are less secure or less understanding, like less in the business world. And so they're just like, damn, like, what's going on with this dude? And it's like, I need information. Like, that's really what
right.
we're here to
I'm
do.
I'm down to the nitty gritty. I want it. The point. Let's get it across.
Yeah. And so, but I never did that first meeting with you, and I feel bad about it. And so here we are. We're going to talk about it because we're here. But like,
because you met with Heather first, right?
I met with you first, and then We signed, and then I never met with anybody after that.
Okay.
I pretty much like, yeah, but I'm also not there very much. Like, I have my couple clients, and that's right about it. So I have the same times every day, and I'm kind of hanging out versus, like, you know, 5 hours a day that I'm there. And so I think that's part of it. So, yeah, but I think so far the community has been very open and very open to helping, and like the workshops are there. And so I think there's a lot of access. It's just like utilizing that access that's being provided.
Yeah.
Do you find a lot of value in those things? Like in those events? I think I've only been to one, the mandatory one. What else are the things being discussed during those events?
So typically like in the workshops, we're just teaching or sharing the knowledge on, you know, how to grow. Basically that's what the last two have been about: growing, being relatable, you know, how to work your social media correctly so it works for you and you're not just throwing content out there, those kind of things. Because we really just started jumping into these workshops. It's really something new this year. Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise we just did like our typical like monthly talk shops, where it really was just all of us to get together, have lunch, and just chit chat on how business is for each of us. Now we put more of a structure on it.
Nice. I think that's like massively valuable, especially for new trainers, people that just, I mean, even old trainers, like it's always nice to get like a, oh shit, like I haven't thought about that.
A refresher, yeah. Right? We always talk about that with like seasoned trainers. You know, you get so rolling in your business that sometimes you forget like the basics. And if you just turned one of those basics back on, it can really excel where you're rolling in your business. It's a little thing sometimes.
Where do you think that like one of those basic items that a seasoned trainer stops doing?
Like typical consultations. I think a lot of seasoned trainers, because a lot of their new incoming athletes and stuff are just word of mouth. So it's kind of like they're already sold on the client before they get there. So they really don't have to sit. Yeah, they'll do like their medical information, like that kind of stuff. But they don't really sit maybe and get to know that client or athlete prior to jumping into a program, because it was just like, oh, they're already here. They're signed with me because they already heard from somebody else. They're ready to rock and roll. Like we can kind of just slide through that maybe.
Do you find that like monthly, like what is the best way for, in, I know this is going to depend on every single trainer. I know that there's never a black and white answer, but some beneficial ways for a trainer to run their the acceptance of payment. Do you find that people who pay for individual sessions that are more successful, monthly, 6 month, 12 month kind of programs? Like, how do people charge?
I would say packages are your more beneficial, because it's like it's a mind trick too for athletes. If they pay this package up front, they're more out to stick out the journey because the money's already, they paid the money. If you're doing just one session at a time, yes, you might be making more money on that session per session, but you have more chance of the clients flaking and not showing up because there's no, you know, need for it because they didn't put anything out for it at that time. So I guess there's less commitment.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you find that there's an ideal range, like a month kind of out, a 3 month kind of out, a 6 month?
A lot of them do like 6 weeks to 8 weeks. I mean, because you're, you know, results driven wise, there's not much you're going to see in a 4 week period. You may see like the weight loss if they're really sticking to their diet and stuff a lot in the first, you know, 4 weeks. But as terms to like muscle growth and changing the physique of your body, all that stuff's going to take more time. So locking in someone, like a good lock in would be like a 12 week program.
That's cool. And then finding the right clients. When does somebody say no to a client?
You have to be, I mean, for trainers, you have to be just as picky as the client needs to be picky as finding the right trainer. Because you want that you want to mesh. You want it to be someone that, again, that you can coach, that's going to be coachable for you. So that relationship is really important. That's why we always let like clients find their trainers with us. We help guide them to ones, like if they're giving certain specifics, but we like them to be able to like go to the website, read the bios, because that relationship is so important. If they're not feeling like they're going to mesh with a trainer, or the trainer's not going to mesh with the client, then you're not going to have longevity. You're not going to get results. And that's when like a trainer should say, you know, I don't think you're maybe right for me, but maybe you're right for this trainer, or, you know, somebody else, pass them on to somebody else. Cause yeah, that relationship is super important.
I've only ever fired like a couple of clients, but it gave me so much.
Have you ever let like,
yeah,
a client know?
Yeah. Either like after a couple sessions of like, usually it's almost always after multiple sessions. Like it's very rarely that I'll have one interaction with somebody and be like, eh, we're not a good fit. Unless they're just looking for something that like, I am looking for a basketball coach.
Right.
Okay. Like
that's not me.
There's someone who's better than I am going to be able to provide you. Go over there. Like,
yeah,
I did work on D1 basketball, but I know someone who's like, that's their jam. Like why they're going to get a better experience at the end of the day. So.
Well, I guess it's like those clients coming in, like, I'm getting married in a month and I want to lose like 3 dress sizes and I want my back to be ripped. Like, I'm sorry. Like you're not going to get that with me. I'm going to have to tell you no. Like,
yeah. I mean, but it's also, I think that client, I was like, I'd educate to the fact
educate
that it's like,
them.
Hey, you're not,
it's not going to happen.
It doesn't matter if you choose me or if you don't choose me, you're going right. to go to anybody else and you're going to say that and somebody's going to tell you, yeah, sure. We'll get you there.
Yep.
And then murder you.
Yeah.
And you're not going to eat anything. You're going to feel like shit. You're going to run yourself into the ground.
Right.
And you're probably not even going to get there. Like,
no.
Very unlikely.
And then you'll be miserable on your wedding day.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's not realistic.
Right.
But I've had clients who I just didn't mesh with personality-wise. And I always give a couple, like, well, maybe we just, like, maybe it's just today's the day. We're not really grooving. But I like to call attention to it. Like, hey, I feel like something's a little bit off. Not really sure what you're thinking right now. How do you feel about this? And they'll give me, I think I'm just feeling off today. Or like, no, I don't know. I'm not really liking this session. I'm not liking this. So, okay, well, let's go ahead and do a couple more and see where if we can connect. And if we can't, we'll find somebody else. And then you get through a couple sessions in and it's like, all right, well, this isn't going to, like, right? This isn't good, right?
Right,
oh,
right.
Yeah, okay.
Are you happy? I'm not happy. Right.
Yeah.
It's the same, honestly, with trainers. Like, we've had trainers come in and, you know, we've done all the education or done, like, what I can do and they just don't. And then that's, like, a realistic point where you have to sit down and say, okay, maybe the independent life is not your style. Like maybe you are, because some trainers are just better off in that corporate setting and they succeed very well there. There's nothing wrong with it. But yeah, you would have to have that conversation. Like, okay, well, let's just be honest. Like maybe this isn't going to be work for you. And I want it to be beneficial for both of us. And if you're going to succeed elsewhere, let's go ahead and do that.
Yeah. I think that most people have good intentions like that. Like, it's not because, oh, I don't like you. It's just, I think you're going to do better somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a good fit, man.
Right.
And, like, really, like, not taking the victim in that moment and being like, oh, this person's, like, they're looking out for me. And I think that one time in my life, I was probably more like the, oh, my God, they just don't want me here, whatever. And then more and more as time's gone on, it's like, people don't have time for that kind of shit. Like,
no.
People are, like, generally pretty good. It's like, you're going to be better off for you personally and for me, like if you
yeah.
went to that other location,
yeah.
you'd be happier. I'll be happier. Everybody wins.
Oh,
just go that direction.
That's what it's about. Like, I want to see you win. I don't want you to watch you struggle and struggle, you know, maybe take the break, go back to like corporate. And now that you know what it takes to be independent, start working on those things while you're there. And then let's try it again. You
yeah.
know,
The opportunity is always there to
yes.
come back. It's,
yes.
It's don't. I think that's a good lesson. Like, never burn the bridge.
Right.
Right.
And I definitely make a point to that. Like, even when trainers leave the facility for, like, they go on to do other adventures. Like, I've decided to leave. I'm going to go join this other, you know, facility. I feel like it's a better spot for me. I okay, you know, good luck on your new adventures. You know, I hope everything works out for you. If not, I'm here. We'll always be here. And I've had like 3 trainers do that and come back, you know, because that I want that open. I want to give them that chance. Like, go be a bird, fly. You know, it's like with my kids, like, go try it, see how it happens and what works. You know, if it works, I'm like pumped for you. Yeah. If not, I'm here.
I think that seems to be a I think it's more often you find that like mindset more than you find the other that's like, I'm just mad and want to, like, I don't care where you go, get out of here. Like, that, like, anger, just
can't believe you're leaving me.
Yeah, like. Yeah. It's just that person's just like angry and sad inside. Yeah. It's just
they have, like, I would guess, maybe other motives in their mind than the welfare of that trainer.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's money driven or whatnot for them instead.
Yeah. That's a good point. Money can get cloudy. And I think that's hard. Do you find yourself ever like down at any point in your life, like down that path of like, this is my jam, and then having to like reset, like maybe like, let's slow down here. Put the brakes on a little bit. Have you ever been there?
Yeah. Where you have to like stop and humble yourself.
Yeah.
Like, okay, bring it back down where you get too cause I'll get too excited about things. And then I'm like, okay, I want to just announce it to the world. Like, I go over beyond where I should be. And then I'm like, and then it falls like flat on my face. I'm like, okay, next time, let's just stay humble along. You know, if it happens, it happens. Like, calm down.
Speaking too soon is a real thing.
Right.
People, and I think it's normal to get excited. It's, yep. And like, I think it depends on the parties you're around. Sometimes if I was working on a deal and I was like talking about that deal, I'd have other people that were just like, they get mad about it, or they, I think sometimes like the constant question asking of like, so how's that thing going? And inside, like, you know, the deal, like, deals take some time, and some yeah. people understand that and some people don't. And it's like, it's been 6 months and we're still working on that deal. And people are like, I don't know if there was ever really a deal. It's like, oh, there's a deal. You just don't understand how this works.
Yeah.
Like, slow down. Like, it's not on your timeline. I'm on my timeline. I think it depends on the people you're around, right? The influence that they have on you and your perspective of those yes. humblings or that pace really is significant.
It really is about who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you surround yourself with?
All my awesome trainers. I couldn't have it any better way. Like, I'm with all these people that are so positive. They're so working towards something else, like always growing. Like, how can you not be in that? You know what I mean? Like, be excited to be in that. Like, I love just coming into the facility too. Even with the athletes, watching them from their day one, like watching their growth and just their smiles change from the beginning to where they are now. Like, that is so gratifying for me. Like, I am blessed to be able to see that on a daily.
It's good. It's good. Yeah. Any questions for me?
For you? I don't.
Cool. What do you got coming up next for Miss Jessica?
I actually leaving to Coaching Con next week. So I'm super excited about that. It's my first big coaching event that I've been to. So I'm really
Where
excited.
Is that?
It's in Orlando.
Very fun. And do you know like some lineups or some people that you definitely want to go check out?
I mean, the biggest one's Ed Milet's going to be there. I'm super excited about him. There's what's cool about it, again, I've never been to one, but reading like the lineups and all the people that are involved, is they're all not fitness based. They're all like even YouTubers and stuff. So it, again, it's like bringing down that business runs pretty much the same no matter what your business is. So it's kind of cool to see ever people's perspectives on how they got there with their business to what they need to do. So, yeah, it's like 4 days of seminars and dinners and all kinds of fun stuff. Our owner from the Dallas location is actually a speaker, too.
Nice.
So I'm excited for him.
Very cool. That's awesome. Where can people find you? Plug, promote, all the stuff
oh,
you got.
Yeah, like, yeah. What do you mean? Like, I'm right here on the couch.
So plug, promote, either your.
You can find me at Self-Made Training Facility Las Vegas. That's where I'm at every day. Well, not every day, but majority of my time. Otherwise, Instagram, it's J Rise Gibbs.
Spell that for me.
J-H-R-Y-Z-E-G-I-B-B-S.
Beautiful. And then Selfmade's Instagram is?
SMTF.LasVegas.
Cool. And then is there an email that people can get at, or is it better just to go through Instagram?
Instagram's the best. Cool. DM.
Go check him out on Instagram. Go follow all the stuff. So Selfmade, and then Ben Nevarez, BenNevarez on Instagram. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
That's awesome.
Love y'all. Thanks.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Ben Nevarez podcast. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, and all other major podcast hosting platforms. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes.